This week's parasha, curse of Adam Rishon is that he will, with the sweat of apecha, of his panim, he will eat bread, which we simply interpret to mean that it's very painful and difficult to earn a parnasa. And that's the pshuto shel mikra. We discussed a couple of things about that in the last 2 days. About what exactly is Zaya. Does Zaya mean moisture on your face? Does Zaya refer to what comes out of your nose and your mouth? Chazal say the Zaya of the body is poison, but the Zaya of what comes out of a person's panim is not. It's not poison. And the makor for this distinction is Bezaya Sapecha, the Zaya of your af, of your panim. You will eat bread. Bread is life. Bread is always associated with life. Chayim. So therefore, it cannot possibly be anything wrong. And what, as I mentioned to you last 2 days ago, is how bizarre it is that we find ourselves now in a world where the Zeya Sapecha is a curse. It's the curse of death. Over 1 million people have died. And they're telling us that we've killed each other. Scientists are telling us that really man has killed each other. One person gets the disease, and then when he breathes and the Zaya comes out of his panim, whether it's from his nose, his mouth, goes into the air, and that affects, contaminates somebody else. He gets it and he spreads to somebody else. Before you turn around, already 1 million people are dead. So how could it possibly be that the Zaya Sapecha Toich HaLechem is a bracha and it's not called the Sama Moves? When in the world out there, they're telling us the Zeya Sapecha is poison. I have no idea. That's just a very frightening concept. But let's go and discuss some other ideas about Zeya Sapecha of Toich HaLechem, eating bread. And let's first take us some background with laws of superstition. The reason why I want to have a little background is because we know that there are many things that people do relating to bread that border upon the topic of nichush, of superstition. For example, you know, we all know that if, by the goyim, if a cat walks in front of you, passes in front of you, it's a bad sign. If this happens, it's a good sign. If that happens, a bad sign. I don't think there's any building in New York that has, what floor is it? What floor, 13? Okay, every building in New York City does not have the 13th floor. It's ridiculous. Why not? Why doesn't any building in the city have 13? Bad luck? Really? In this secular Goyish world, they believe in bad luck. They believe in themselves. They believe in nature. They don't even believe in God. All of a sudden, they're concerned about bad luck, and there's no such thing as the 13th floor. It's hilarious. It's hilarious that people go for this. And yet when you speak to them, they refuse to accept any, they're willing to believe in this. But when it comes to Hashem, no, that's already, we have to remove from the charter one nation under God. Because, thank you very much. Thank you. So when it comes to bread, let me give you some examples. There is a minhag not to eat the end piece of a loaf of bread. Does anyone here have that minhag? I actually like the end piece of the loaf of bread. I like the crust. But there is such a minhag that people do not eat the end of a loaf of bread because it's kosher l'shikcha. It can cause you to forget. There is a minhag that you should not eat hot bread. If the bread is steaming hot, there is such a minhag in Yisrael, you should not eat that bread. There's another minig that a person, that if a woman by mistake, she leaves, she forgets, and she leaves the bread in the oven overnight, should not eat the bread in the morning. Okay, I don't know if you're familiar with these minhagim. Some of them I also am not familiar with, but that's what some of them I've heard about in the past. But there is such a thing. Again, not eat from the crust, the last piece of the loaf of bread, not to eat bread that's steaming hot, and number three, not to eat bread that was left over in the oven overnight. Why? Either because it's kosher l'shikcha, it can cause the person to forget his learning, or it can bring on poverty. And the question is, doesn't this violate the laws of nichosh, of superstition? So the answer is, this is a general topic of discussion. The violation of nichosh is only to actually say it. It's only when a person says, I will not eat this particular piece of bread, because if I do so, it will cause me to forget everything that I know. Or it will cause me to have a bad mazel and I will become poor. I will not succeed in my pursuit of prosperity. That's the prohibition of nichosh. But for a person in his mind to be concerned that if I do this, something bad may happen, that is permitted. If it's something which is accepted to be a fact in the world. You know who says this? So Yerushalmi says this. It's a Yerushalmi, it says, Omar Rebbe Ami, Lemechosh Lema, Tzrichim Lemechosh Lema, Dibriyosa Choshashin. We have an obligation in this world to be concerned for what people say is true. And if in the world people do, if in the world it is accepted that eating the end of a piece of bread, eating steaming hot bread, eating bread that was left over in an oven overnight is dangerous, the Gemara in the Yerushalmi says we have a duty. Omar Rebbe Ami Tzurichin Lemechosh Lema Dib Riyasa Choshashin. We have a duty to be concerned for things that in the world are considered to be real and true. Tosfos asked the question, how could that be? Isn't this called nichosh? So Tosfos says, v'nira be'enai, this is not Tosfos, it's from the Shulta Giborim. Okay, Zerisha, and the Shulta Giborim says, how could the Yerushalmi make such a statement? And the Shulta Giborim says, is a very popular answer, which we use this principle to guide us in life in many of these matters. This is like, you know, a very powerful yisoid. She'im einoi moitzi ha'dvarim mipiv el mechashev b'libo v'nimna me'asokov al lidei ha'nichosh harei zeh muter. The only time it's a violation of lo senachashu, a person may not be superstitious, and a person has an obligation, tomim tia im Hashem ulokecha, is only if he actually articulates his concern. That's the violation. But just to hold back silently and not do something because in the world this is what they say, that absolutely is no violation whatsoever. And adaraba, you have a duty, an obligation to take into consideration of what is done in the world. I'll give you an example. I probably told this example to you many, many times, but just to repeat it to bring out this point, there was a fellow who was a Haredi. And his father was, I don't know who his father was. His father, I assume, was also a religious Jew. And he was very involved in the government, in the state of Israel. And the government wanted to honor this person's father by naming a street after him in the heart of Tel Aviv. And the government would ask the family, we want to honor your father. He was a very good person. We want to name this street in Tel Aviv. And they wanted permission, it seems. They wanted the family to agree to this honor. So this fellow was a Haredi. He went to Chaim Kanievsky. And he said to him, they want to honor my father by naming a street after him in Tel Aviv. Rav Chaim Kanievsky said, so what's the problem? So he says, I have two problems. Number one, Chilul Shabbos. The street that they're going to name my father after is going to be Chilul Shabbos. I don't want my father to be associated with the street where they're going to be Jews at Chilul Shabbos every single Shabbos. What else? This is a Goy Sheminog. By the Goyim, when they want to give honor to a person, they name a street after him. This is not a Yiddish thing. A Yiddish thing to name a street after somebody. It's called Kovit. Rav Chaim Kanievsky said to him, you're wrong on both accounts. Chil Shabbos, that's not your problem. That's not your problem. They want to give cover to your father, they want to name a street, so they'll name a street just because people are going to Chal Shabbos on that. What does that have to do with you? It's nonsense. And then came the second thing, which blew my mind, and it affected me very much, this answer. What was your second concern? What kind of narishkeit is this to go name a street after a person? It doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara there's something called naming a street after a person. In the Gemara, if you want to go give a person honor, you give him an aliyah, you make yeshiva, al shemoi, we'll establish a new yeshiva, and we'll call it by his name, we'll have a keren, a gemach. There are other types of techniques that we find in the Gemara that are used to give honor to the dead or the living.
Rabbi, why couldn't he tell him that we find fakert in the Torah?
City, very good. Name the city. It's even better than better.
City, the whole city, on his name.
I don't know the answer. You're saying good answer. You do find in the Torah such a thing, but he did it for himself. And those examples, it was not done by somebody else. Who says it was so good? In fact, if I'm not mistaken, there was a complaint. It's one of the examples of where a person named the city after himself. Chazal were critical of that. They were not happy with that. So maybe it's not such a good example. You're right. I don't know. It's a very good Marim Mokum to study, inquire more into it. There are two different, there are those cases, they did it for himself or after his child. And who says it was such a good idea? We have to see what it says. Rav Chaim Kanievsky said to him as follows. He said to him words which really affected me very much. If in the Welt, it's choshev, it's choshev. Just because it's not in the Gemara and it's not to be found in Chazal. If in the Welt, if in the world, naming a street after a person is considered to be a davar choshev, then it is a davar choshev. Don't discount the minhag ha'olam. You want to name a street after your father? That's a very big kavod for your father. Adaraba, you should embrace it and you should participate in the ceremony. Chil Shabbos is not your problem. It's nonsense. You're such a charedi, you're such a firm person, now it doesn't say in the Gemara, so it doesn't say in the Gemara. If it's choshev, it's choshev. The truth is, Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, Mamash Beferish, Ferish Gemara. So Yerushalmi. Rav Chaim Kanievsky is a living Torah. The Udim Vitumim. He has Corona. I don't know what the matzav is. In the beginning, they said he was okay. Then they said that it was not so good. They said that his matzav was not so good. I have not heard anything in the last 3-4 days. I don't know what's going on, but what he says here is, Mamash Meferish Gemara. If in the Welt, it's not a good idea to eat the last slice of bread in a loaf of bread, a little piece of bread, then don't eat it. Take into consideration what they do in the world. If in the Welt, they don't eat, it's the Minhag Yisrael not to eat steaming hot bread. When it comes out of the oven, you wait until the bread cools. If the Minhag Yisrael is not to eat bread that was left over in the oven overnight, why? You don't understand why.
It's better to throw it out.
Oh, so what do you do with it exactly? Can we have come down and come to this at Baltashka? So come down in a second. But if in the Vel they don't do this, so you know, take it into consideration. You should don't just reject the Minhag Olam. Oh, but it's Nichush. It's Nichush. This is a violation of Lo Sinachashu. No, it's not. the side of the Shilte Giboirin. The only time one is in violation of Lysinachashu if you articulate what you're doing. I'm not eating the last slice of bread because it's going to cause me to forget everything that I know, or it's going to cause me to be unsuccessful in my parnasa. Just don't say those words. Just don't eat it. Shev va'al taseh. Hold yourself back. Keep your mouth shut and you're good to go. It's a very delicate balance of loisinachashu and taking into consideration how things operate in this world. Now, Rav Mordechai Bidenstock here asked the question, why isn't this considered to be bal tashkis? What do you do with the end of the loaf of bread? The answer is you can crumble it up. You can put it into a dish. I don't really exactly know. It's only forbidden. The minig is only not used the way it is in its raw state when they slice it off. But if you take it and you make it into a dish, I never saw a person do this. Or maybe what it means if you cut it up, I don't know exactly. I really don't know. This is a good question. What do you do with it? What do you do? You go and if you rip it, if you cut it, you slice it up into little pieces, it no longer has the tsura of a piece of bread. Put it into your soup. You take that end piece and you cut it into a few pieces and it looks like matzo balls and you put it into your soup. It no longer has the tsura of the end of the loaf of bread. You can consume it and it's not bal tashchis. But it is a very good question. Now, let's just go elaborate. We have a problem with this. The problem with this is anything which the Gemara says explicitly is mutter, you have no right under any condition to forbid. This is a general rule when it comes to when Chazal, they're oiker davar min ha-Torah. Chazal cannot be oiker davar min ha-Torah when the Torah explicitly says that it's mutter. For example, ribis. Are you allowed? We know that we do not lend Jews money with interest. This is a terrible, terrible avera. In this is the raisa of ribis. What about lending money to a non-Jew with ribis? Are you allowed to do so? So many people would say, yeah, it should be forbidden because as an extension, because it's a slippery slope. If we're going to lend non-Jews money with ribis, so what's going to happen? So tomorrow you'll lend a Jew money with ribis. One thing leads to another. By the way, that would put us out of business in 10 seconds. But there would be, Chazal would have definitely taken into consideration the idea, the possibility that a Jew should not lend another Jew money with, or a Jew should not lend a goy money with ribis as an extension, as a rabbinic enactment to protect a Jew from lending another Jew money with ribis. Why didn't Chazal ever enact such a takana? Because the Torah explicitly says, The Torah explicitly says, do it. When the Torah explicitly says, do it, Chazal have no right to come along and tell you, don't do it, because it's a gezerah of you might come to do something worse.
You see sometimes that the Chazal are changing and answering what the Torah says.
Mordechai Bidenstock is asking, what about shofar and lulav? This year we had no shofar deraisa and no lulav deraisa. A very scary year. Rosh Hashanah passed by and there was no shofar. Pesach passed by, Sukkot passed by, there was no lulav and eshrog deraisa. All the mitzvahs that we did this year were midrabanan. That's how could Chazal say not to do it when the Torah said to do it? The answer is not doing is not the same as doing. The Torah says, Shev, Ribbis also saying not to lend. Or so see, when it comes to a goy, the Torah says explicitly, La nochri sashich, lend the goy money. Chazal to come along and say, don't do it, you're going up against what the Torah says to do. When the Torah says, take a little of an esrog, we do take a little of an eshuk. Okay, they're different. It's very delicate to answer your question. It's that it's occasionally you're allowed not to do it. The shev v'al taseh.
You see that by Esther, that they didn't eat matzah on the first night of Pesach. Right?
That, That was Hirasha. That was a Hirasha because there wouldn't be a Jewish people left there altogether when everything was said and done. But okay, let me answer your question correctly. But the answer they give is, if it's only not done occasionally, then Chazal have permission to be oiker min haTorah. So this year we did not blow shofar on the first day, but next year we will, and the year before we did. So once in a while, if we just shev va'al tase, we hold back, that's different. To make a takana, a blanket takana, never, ever lend a guy money with ribbis is like saying, never, ever blow shofar. Never take the dalad minim on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. That's ridiculous. The Torah says, do it, you do it. There's no such thing as the slippery slope. It's very, you can't go say, oh, today, don't lend the guy money with ribbis, and tomorrow you can lend the guy. That doesn't work like that. Either you do or you don't. So when it comes to ribbis, if there would be a takana, it would be a blanket takana not to ever lend a non-Jew money with ribbis. Chazal cannot possibly do that because it says explicitly in the Torah, l'nachri sashich. When it comes to shofar and lulav, we blow the we do generally. Occasionally, Chazal can tell you to hold back because of Shabbos. You make them to carry in the street on Shabbos. Now here's the problem. The problem is the Mefarish Gemara that says that a person should eat hot bread motzoi Shabbos. It's the Mefarish Gemara. The Mefarish Gemara that pas chamin motzoi Shabbos is melugma. Melugma means it is a healing. To eat hot bread motzoi Shabbos is a good thing to do. So that is the case. How then can Chazal say, how then can there be a superstition not to ever eat hot bread because it's kosher l'shikha? Pas chama b'motzoi Shabbos melugma. It is a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, daf kuf yutes omid beis. Eating hot bread b'motzoi Shabbos brings healing to a person. So you see, hot bread is something which is good. How then can the velt, the Olam, say, no, don't eat hot bread, you're putting yourself in sakana? So there are many answers. Answer number one is, Mitzvah Shabbos is an exception. The Kedusha Shabbos protects you from any harm. Answer number two, this is a very funny answer, is the only prohibition, the only minig not to eat peeping, steaming hot bread is only when it's hot the first time. It's coming out of the oven. It comes out of the oven fresh. It's still hot from being baked originally. Mitzvah Shabbos, when it says you should eat hot bread, it doesn't mean you should bake new bread. It means you should take the leftovers and warm them up. Taking bread that is cold and heating it up and making it hot, that is called melugma. It's called a refuah. So the minig not to eat hot bread means only when it's still coming out of the oven, not when you reheat leftovers. That is permitted. A third.
So on Shabbos, if somebody would go bake mamash fresh bread and eat it, also not. No good.
Do it, then that would be the minig. We should not eat fresh bread on Shabbos. Another answer given is when it says eating hot bread, the minig is not to eat hot bread is only when it's very, very hot. It's steaming hot. But if the bread is still warm, like you go to the bakery and they don't want to put the challahs in the plastic bags, even though plastic bags now are usher. I don't know what they can do. They'll still allow to have those regular plastic bags for the challahs, but
yeah, those you're allowed to. Those small bags you're allowed. Yeah.
Give the mayor and the governor, give them don't be choshe them. They'll prohibit those things soon also. But they don't want to put it because it's still hot. That type of hot is not what Chazal had in mind. It means it's so hot you can't even touch it. When it's steaming hot, then we have a tradition, a Kabbalistic tradition, that a person should not eat steaming hot bread. But if the bread is warm and it's fresh and it's still warm, there is no prohibition. So I have three answers. Number one, Mitzvah Shabbos, the Kedusha of Mitzvah Shabbos protects you. Number two, it's only to eat hot bread that is hot in its from its original state of baking, and number three, only when it's steaming hot. And why isn't this called nichush? It's not, but generally eating hot bread is forbidden because Kabbalah, tradition, and we have an obligation to be concerned, because if in the Welt, in the world, there is such a concern, so we have an obligation to be concerned. It says that the Beferish in the Yerushalmi from Rabbi Ami. And why is this not called nichush? The shilte giborim, because you're not articulating this. And even though Chazal cannot go up against what it says Beferish, it's mutter, past the minog cannot go up what is explicit in the Gemara that's mutter. We give the answer, Mitzvah Shabbos, there are other reasons why it's not a,
you know, today's bread is almost always baked overnight. It's not like you...
It's being baked. No, the third minute not to eat bread that's left in an oven means where the bread was completely baked.
Yeah, but anyway, today what they do is they take all the pieces and they put maple water on it and they make bread crumbs or baguettes, whatever. Reprocess it afterwards. So they make it wet again and they cook it again.
Okay, so you want to say the analogy of bread today is that they add salt and the other ingredients. It's not pure. Adding other ingredients, I think I once saw something like that, that because today our bread has in it other ingredients, it's not the bread of Chazal. The bread of Chazal is like matzah. Only two ingredients, flour and water. When it's pure flour and water, then we can apply all of these strain, all of these superstitions. Don't eat the last piece. Don't eat it when it's hot. Don't eat it if you left it in the oven overnight. But today our bread is not bread. We make a hamotzi lechem and aretz on it, of course, but they add salt and they add other ingredients. The wheat is processed. I don't know exactly what they do, but there's no question that the bread we buy in the bakery has many ingredients. It's not just pure flour and water. And lahalacha, according to some opinions, that removes it from the status of pure bread, at least regarding these in Yadim, which we really have no clue, no understanding of what they're all about, what the significance of why these things should be true. Okay, there's another minig, and some people follow this minig is more relevant, and it's a little bit controversial. And that is, the minig is not to ever give to hand a person a slice of bread directly into their hands. If you go to a Shabbos table, you're a guest by Shabbos in your own home, and you make hamotzi, you have the two loaves of bread, lachamishta, you cut the bread. What do you do with the bread? So many people, you don't even realize what you're doing. You cut the bread and you slice it up and you put the bread in a tray and you pass the tray around the table. Some people, they toss the bread from one to another. But do you ever take a slice of bread and hand it directly into the hand of your spouse or your children? So generally there is a minute not to do that. You don't hand bread directly into the hand of another person. Why not? Because that technique is reserved for mourners, for avelim. It says in the pasuk, "Parsa tzion biyodeha." Tzion in Eicha. It says in Eicha. In Eicha, tzion, she spread out her hands. And the word parsa tzion biyodeha, okay, this is I'm not familiar with the details. It's a Ramah. The Ramah writes this. Let me read you the whole Mechaber and Ramah. The Mechaber says in Simen Kuf Samach Zayin, Habaytzea noisein prusa lefnei kol echad v'echad, v'echad v'ho'echad noitel prusa biyodoi, v'ein habaytzea noisein biyad ho'eichel. It's a Meferish Mechaber. The one who slices the bread should not put the slice of bread directly into the hand of the guest. Instead, the recipient, he should either take the bread on his own or he should take it from the table. The bread should be put in a tray or on the table and the guest should take the bread from the table. The Ramah comments on this Mechaber. What's the reason? The Ramah writes, Parsa Sion biyodeha remes leprusa hamoitze shenoisein biyodoi b'shas avelus. The only time you directly put a piece of bread into the hand of someone else is only when you're feeding a mourner. a mourner is not in a matzah of taking the bread. So to him, you put the bread, to him, you have to put the bread in his hand. Now, why is that so? It's very simple why that's so. It's because of this.
If you go to the store, you want to go now because we're pulling out.
Why is that so? So it's very simple. This week's parasha. The parasha says, "Bezeas apecha toichal lechem." Lechem represents life. Okay, represents ki loy al halechem levado yichye ha'adam. Lechem represents the staple of life. And when a person is in a state of mourning, he's not in a position of taking the bread. When he's mourning over a loved one, someone that he lost, he also, when a person dies, part of you dies. Someone has a relative who dies, it's not just that person died. Part of you died. If you are in mourning over that person, that means there's an element of yourself that's no longer here. Thus, not in a state of ki lo yal alechem levada yichye ha'adam. You're not in a state of bezeyas apecha toicha alechem. You're going to live. You're going to work. Someone has to put the bread. When you're alive, you take the bread yourself. You're independent. You don't need to come on to other people. Being alive means you're self-independent. You can feed yourself. Therefore, this is a machaber and a ramah, this is a minog, not to put bread ever in the hand of another person. You put the bread on the tray and let that person take the bread from you. This
which
is
siman, which siman is this?
Simin Kuf Samach Zayin. Kuf Samach Zayin Sif Yudches.
Kuf Samach Zayin Orchaim?
Orchaim. Chelik Beis, Mishnah Berurah Chelik Beis, I believe. Kuf Samach Zayin Simches Habotzea Noisin Prusa Lufnei Kol Echav Yechad V'ho Echad Noitel Prusa B'yodah V'in Abasin Noisin B'yadah Echal Elim Kin Hoi Odel. And the Ramah says, Parasot Tzion B'yodeha Tijul B'yodeha. Now,
I would have thought that this has to do, maybe it's a remez for Anius, that you have to come on to an Ani, you give an Ani directly, you give him tzedakah in his hand, or you give him a piece of bread in his hand.
Choshev Kemes, exactly. Ani Choshev Kemes.
Oh, same idea. Okay.
Is the ultimate Ani, exactly. Right. It's all totally zevazeh. Now, even though this is...
I'm with my wife only, we have a meal, so I cannot give her the bread.
That's what it says. The Mechaber says not.
To anyone.
Anyone. The Mam is Shulchan Aruch. I'm not making this up. It's a Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber is, look at those, Sim Kuf Samach Zayin. Habotzeya, the one who breaks bread, Noisein Pruso Lefnei, in the presence, called Echad B'Echad, their presence, and that individual, Noitel Pruso B'Yadai, he takes the bread himself from where the bread has been deposited. Do not put the bread in the hand of the oichel. Ela im kein hoya ovel, unless the recipient is a mourner. And the Ramah cites a medrash. The Ramah doesn't say where it comes from. He says it comes from Parsav Tzion Biodeha. And the Rambam said, the Ram discourse from the Rambam, and the Rashba says that this comes from a medrash. It's a medrash in Eicha. Not exactly clear where this medrash is. I don't know. He says that this is a medrash, and the medrash, there's a little bit more an elaboration. It doesn't, we do not have a medrash. Let me read what it says over here. The Rashba, someone sent a letter to the Rashba.
Hello.
Hi.
Someone sent a letter to the Rashba asking the Rashba, where is the source for this halacha? And the Rashba said, Zu midivrei, these are a quote from the Rashba, in the letter. Teshuvah, the answer to your question, you want chapter and verse, Teshuvah, Zu, this halacha, midivrei chachamim, hoya lohem bevadai, this is certainly from Chazal, umokoyim yadua hoya li bezeh, the Rashba writes, once upon a time, I knew where it was, the source. Vishachachtiv, I forgot. The im emsa achar bedika ashalach ve'odiacha. If I find it, After launching an investigation, I will let you know. No, it's so bizarre. Yesterday, I'm a daf behind in the daf Yomi. And yesterday, Rashi quote, there was the Gemara says a person who drinks wine should not pray. After you drink yayin, you should not daven. And then the Gemara says shenemar. It says, I forgot. The Gemara is a short pasuk al yoyre. Yoyre there. The Gemara interprets this mean hashoyse lo yoyre. It's on daf samach hey amid aleph and masechta erevin. And Rashi there says something very funny. He says bodakti. I check b'chol hamikra. Rashi says something like I check the entire Tanakh. I cannot find this pasuk. The Gemara quotes the pasuk. It's a short pasuk that if you drink yayin, you should not daven because your mind is not clear. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk and Raj, I checked the entire Tanakh. I can't find this. How long does it take you to go through the entire Tanakh? Well, Mishneh Torah on Hashanah Rabbah, for those who attend Mishneh Torah, takes about an hour and a half. And that's only Chumash Devarim. And what about the whole Tanakh? Rashi says, I checked the entire Tanakh and I can't find it. In the Ulai, perhaps, it's found in Ben Sira. Okay, Ben Sira, the Sifrei Chitzonim. Ben Sira wrote books of wisdom, of Chochmah. It's not part of the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh. Maybe this verse is found in his books, which are not part of the holy books of Tanakh. Can you imagine Rashi writes that today you would say bodakti means you typed into the computer. You went to the computer and you
or went to the concordance.
Or the concordance. Rashi says bodakti is it's an amazing Rashi. I mean, Rashi had all this time on his hands. Rashi had nothing better to do than to go through the entire Tanakh without a computer, without a concordance, to go look for this pasuk and v'loy matzasi to say with definitively I cannot find this and therefore it must be in Ben Sira. Wow. Rashi, obviously, in his mind, he was able to go through the entire Tanakh in a moment. And he says, there's no such pasuk. And whatever the Gemara is quoting is not from Tanakh, it's from an outside source like Ben Sira. He was asked,
I believe the Gemara does quote Ben Sira about a half a dozen times.
Yeah, the Gemara, it's not a kasha, but Rashi, to go
so it's plausible, is what I'm saying.
So of course, but over here, the Rashi was asked the question, where does it say this halacha? By the way, Shulchan Aruch was written a lot later than the Rashba. Okay, Shulchan Aruch was written a few hundred years after the Rashba, but obviously this halacha was well known, that you do not hand bread to your fellow man. You put bread on the table and someone else takes it, only to an avel. Where does it say this? Someone says to the Rashba, the Rashba says, I have no doubt in my mind that this comes from the Chachamim, and once upon a time, I knew where it was. I can quote you chapter and verse, but you know something? I forgot. And when I will have a chance to find it and to check into it, I will send you another letter telling you exactly where it is. We do not have on record the Rashba ever sending another letter to reveal where the source is. And in fact, we don't even know where it is. It doesn't exist. Okay, it says the Bedek HaBayis. Okay, there is the Bedek HaBayis, that's the name of a sefer. I don't know the name of the Bedek HaBayis quotes this Rashba. And the Bedek HaBayis says, I know where it is. It's found in the Medrash Eicha Rabba. But guess what? If you go to the shelf and look at Eicha Rabba, you're not going to find it. So what was the Bedek HaBayis talking about? He had a different version of Eicha Rabba. In our editions of Eicha Rabba, this halacha, Persa Tzion Biyodeha, from this we learn that Tzion stretched out her hand and somehow by her stretching out her hand in a state of mourning, she was mourning over the loss of the Churban. I'm not exactly sure how we learn from that pasuk that you do not give bread into the hand of another person. You only give bread, you spread out your hand and put the bread into the hand of a mourner. This is found in this pasuk in Eicha Rabba. Guess what? In our edition of Eicha Rabba, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say this anywhere at all. So
I mean, offhand, I don't recall it, you know.
Amar, when the Amar quotes this, The Rambam was much later. But yet it's still a tradition. The Rambam says it. The Rambam makes mention of this. And the Rashba, and the Rashba says, once upon a time I knew where it was. The Bedek Abayis claims it's an Eich Rabba, an Arich Rabba, it's not there. It's nowhere to be found. And we have to assume, and this is like many other things, that there are many Midrashim or versions of Medrash that have been lost from us. But the Rambam quotes it. And the Rashba says, once upon a time I knew where it was. And it's quoted by the Machaber, and the Ramos says it. So the bottom line is, that's the halacha. It made all the way down to our generation. So that's the halacha. However, the Hasidim, the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, don't hold of this. Okay? You go to a Hasidish Atish. What does that do? He picks up the fish. Okay, not like bread. It's only by parts of the bread, but by the Rebbe, when he cuts the bread, it puts the bread in your hand. It puts the bread in your hand. They don't hold it. They have never, even though it says this explicitly in the Mechaber and the Ramah, Halacha l'maisa, the Minchas lo, the Munkach, Minchas lo, he writes that the Choyze Milublin and the other Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, which basically means all of the Hasidim, lo hikpidu al zeh. They did not take this seriously, and the Arizal, in the teachings of the Arizal, there's no mention of this. Some want to say that what it means in Shulchan Aruch means a hakpada, which means that when it comes to a regular person, do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. You add your dining room table, you cut the bread. You want to put the bread on the tray? Put it on the tray. You want to put the bread in the hand of your wife? Do it. Do whatever you want. Don't pay attention to what you do. However, if Rachmana Litzlan, there is an ovel in your presence, then pay attention. Then you should be makbid to only put the bread directly into his hands. A regular person, you can. You can, you can't, you can do whatever you want. I think many of us are in that category. It must be that we all have in our bodies Hasidish blood. We're not makbid. There's no hakpada. You do whatever you want. You want to put the bread in the person's hand. You don't want to put the bread. Do whatever you want. Don't pay attention. What it means in the Mechaber and the Ramah is if Rachmana Litzlan, there is an ovel, then you should be makbid to bedavka put the bread in the person's hand and not just put on a tray and let him take it by itself. Okay, by the Rebbe's, they put, that's Shirayim. I was this year on a Shana Rabbah in a sukkah, and there was a Rebbe there, not a real Rebbe, he was a make-believe Rebbe, and every year they do this, and he gives out Shirayim, they have sponge cake, a big, big tray of sponge cake, and all the boys come up to this person, and he gives them a bracha, and he gives them a piece of sponge cake. And I always say to myself, I am not going to go for this. I'm not a chassid. I'm not from this type of crowd that you go to the Rebbe and he gives you a piece of sponge cake. I'm not into this. So I decide, I never did this. Sitting next to me was real lit. I can't tell you his name. Was such a litvak. And I said to him, if there's one person in this room, in this sukkah, then for all the money in the world, will never go up to this person to take a piece of sponge cake. It's you. You're the spitz litvak. And he said to me, you're right. I wouldn't even have a havamina to take shirayim from a Rebbe. But when the Rebbe is to give shirayim, that's really what they do. They put the bread right into your hand. And then I'm not put on this thing at all.
Rabbi, I'm looking in the Mishnah Berurah. He brings down from, I think, Prima Gordon, Morgan Abram, that you mentioned before about some people toss the bread. He said you shouldn't do that either. That's bizoyan. That's not...
In the distance. There is a minhag. There is definitely a minhag that you toss the bread slightly. Why? Zeha shulchon asher lefnei Hashem. It says in Sefer Yecheskel, concerning the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is called the shulchon. In the Beis HaMikdash, when they put the meat, the Ivarim, on the fire of the Mizbech, they tossed it.
They
stood on the ramp, and they tossed it on the fire. From that comes the minhag, being that the Mizbeach is compared, our dining room table is compared to the Mizbeach. It comes, and when we eat bread, we eat food, it's like we are eating, we are consuming korbanos. V'ochlu oisam asher kupar bohem. Malamed sha'abaylem oichlem, sha'akoyhanem oichlem v'abaylem mischaprim. So just like when they put the bread, the limbs of the animal on the fires of the Mizbeach, they did so by tossing it. So there is a minhag that the one who is the botseah, who breaks bread, when he passes around the slices, he tosses it. Now all the Mishnah Berurah means is don't go throw it. If the guy is sitting at the end of the table, don't go say, okay, get ready, and you throw it at a far distance. But a slight toss is acceptable to preserve the minhag of Zeh HaShulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem. Taking it directly to the hand, again, so we have two different minhagim. Halacha L'maisa, you have what it says over here in the Shulchan Aruch. It says not to do it. The Ramah tells us the reasons because of Perish Tzion B'Yodecha, it comes from Avelus. That's what it says in the Mechamah Ramah. Do we Puk Chazi Ma'amad Devar? Do we see people today being makbar on this? I don't think so.
No.
A place that I've been at,
Rabbi Zichron Levracha ate numerous times in his house. He always put the bread and the challah in front of me. He never ever put it into my hand. Never. And only for the people that sat away, he put it into a tray. But the people that sat closest to him, he put it in front of them. He never ever put it in their hand. They never threw it either.
Okay. So you see, there are different minhagim. There are different minhagim. All we have is what it says in the Mechaber and the Ramah. Mechaber and Ramah says it should not be done, and we have a reason. We don't really have a source for the reason. We don't have this Medrash Eicha in front of us. It does not appear to exist anywhere. This is tradition. It goes back from the Rambam, and it's the Rashba quotes it, the Mechaber and the Ramah. However, it is a fact that the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, they were not makbid on this. And they explained that the halacha that was handed down does not mean that you may not put bread in another person's hand. All it means is that by an ovel, there you should be careful to do it that way. But everyone else, you can do whatever you want. So to each his own, these are the different minhagim. Now let's discuss another quick topic, and that is, so there was actually the daf yesterday, or 2 days ago. There's a halacha that if you're walking on the street and you see on the floor a piece of bread, you are not allowed to pass by and allow the bread to remain on the floor. Bizui oichlen. So the Farish of Gemara, the Gemara talks about this. Now it's said only by bread. The Gemara says, Ein ma'avirin, this Gemara above Mitzibah, we had the Gemara in Erevin yesterday as well, 2 days ago. Ein ma'avirin al ha'oichlen. And Rashi there explains it means hamitzi oichlin bederech. If you find food on the floor on the road, ein rashai, you are not permitted lavor alehen, to walk by ulahanicham sham, and just to let it remain on the floor. It's a disgrace. Bread is life. Bread is something very significant. And the Gemara,
what do you do if there is a piece of bread and it's, I don't know, it's
disgusting.
Who touched it? And
you'll kill yourself. It's corona to touch the bread. We'll discuss it in a moment. So what does it say in the Gemara? First, the Gemara says that that's only true in time of the Gemara. But Bizman Hazeh, stay away because of Kishuf. Because Bizman Hazeh, there's a spell. A magician and a sorcerer and a machashefa has cast a spell on that loaf of bread and it can be poisonous. But that's only true if it's a complete loaf of bread. If it's a slice of bread, and kishuf has no effect on a slice. So a slice of bread, you should stop and pick up. Okay, fine. Bottom line is, halacha l'maaseh bizman hazeh. There's no... What is the Zman Hazeh? It goes without saying that in your own private home, this halacha applies because there's no kishuf Zman Hazeh. And in your own home, it's a disgrace that food should be lying on the floor. A bagel, a loaf of bread, or you're in a shul, a bris, you see a loaf of bread, you see something on the floor, it's a disgrace. You don't want to touch, maybe dirty a little bit, so you take a tissue, you take a paper towel, and you pick it up. But to see food lying on the floor, it's a gemara. It's forbidden. It is forbidden. It's a mamash halacha psuka to just, you go to a bris, and there are kids running around, and they run, they shake the table, and before they turn around, you see a bagel lying on the floor. And you're sitting there, not my problem. So let the bagel be, the janitor will come clean the bagel. You're not allowed to. You're not like a sefer Torah. You see a sefer Torah on the floor, you're just going to sit and do nothing? You see a sefer Torah lying on the floor, you pick up the sefer Torah. You see a piece of bread lying on the floor, you pick it up. It's a disgrace. Now, of course, if you're walking in the streets and you see a piece of bread, someone's feeding the pigeons, and he goes and he puts out a whole loaf of bread, or he dumps sometimes, you know, under the train tracks, people, they dump things there every day, and you see loaves of bread, you're not going to touch that because that may be poisonous. You don't know where that bread has been. You do not know who has touched it. You do not know what disease you can get from coming in contact. So that's obvious. It's a dvarim pshutim ad me'oid, that in today's dangerous world, when you're going on the street, on the side of the road, you see food, someone's feeding the pigeons or things like that, stay away. Don't look for trouble. But in your comfort of your own home or in a safe environment where you know what you're dealing with, there is a sensitivity to bread. You don't just sit down. It's like if a sitter falls on the floor, you don't let the sitter just sit there. You pick it up. Food is life. Oichel is a blessing from Hashem. Don't disgrace. Don't allow life to lie in the garbage. Raise up life. Value life. Now, some say this only applies. Now, this halach that it says in the Baba Metzia Oichel, there is some controversy. If this halach only applies to bread, or does it apply to all foods? Let's say on the floor there are candies. Simchas Torah. What do we do with Simchas Torah, by the way? What do you do by an ofraf? You throw food. They throw candy. They throw candy. That used to be, there's no makar for throwing candy. The makar is to throw wheat kernels. Wheat kernels is not the same thing like throwing a loaf of bread. It's not the same thing like throwing food. In time of Chazal, the minik by an ofraf or by a simcha, by a wedding, I don't remember all of the sources, they would throw kernels of wheat. Kernels of wheat are a raw product of the earth. That's not called food. Today, go to a simcha, instead of throwing kernels of wheat, today became a new minik. There's no makar for this, to throw candy. It's not so simple. It's not so simple. You want to go take a product that's ready for consumption. A wheat kernel is not edible. I know there are people that chew raw wheat kernels, but even that's not so common. At least they toast them. At least to make a wheat kernel edible, it was toasted for a few moments. Just a raw wheat kernel, I take a clump of earth and throwing it at somebody. That's not a violation of being mevaza oichel. But candy is edible. However, it's obvious we're very lenient. Number one, we don't throw raw food. Usually everything is wrapped up in a wrapper, and the wrapper is in a bag, and it's all contained, and it's all, the food is not being disgraced. It's done with derech simcha, and it goes without saying that the minhag is to be lenient in this matter. But generally,
And everybody picks it up, especially the children.
Now let's go. But now, what about just generally? Let's say you're at home and lying on the floor is food. Food is lying that should not be on the floor. I have a good example of a piece of meat. A piece of meat is lying. A good steak is lying on the floor. So I'm not in the mood picking it up. I'm not in the mood. I want to read the newspaper now. Later I'll go pick it up. Do you have a duty to get yourself out of it? That was a siddur lying on the floor. You're obligated to bezoyin to a sifrei kodesh. You're not allowed to sit down and do nothing. If you're a healthy person, and you can do, you have a duty to pick yourself up and go pick up the sefer. So if it's bread, yes, that's clear as day. What about if it's a piece of meat? Do you have a duty to go pick up the piece of meat that's edible and not allow it to lie there in a state of disgrace? It's a shaila. It's not so simple that you have an obligation, because many want to suggest it only applies to bread. Bizeas apecha toich alechem, ki loya lechem levada yichi adam, does not necessarily apply to anything other than bread. And therefore, candies, like today, certainly would not be an issue whatsoever. And as we said before, even today's bread, who says today's bread has the status of bread? All of today's bread has other ingredients. They don't sell anymore just flour and water. All the breads today are exotic. They're adding in other ingredients into the bread in order to make it taste better. So who says our bread today is really considered halachic bread? Maybe it only applied to real pure matzah. Okay, now, others want to say a bigger chiddush. Others want to say this is the shita of the Me'iri. The Me'iri is a very, very lenient in this matter. The Me'iri holds, and the Me'iri has drawn the attention of many poskim to thoroughly reject his opinion. He holds that when it says in Chazal, Ein ma'avirin ala oichlin, you're not allowed to pass by and tolerate bread to be lying on the ground, it only means don't step on it. But if you don't want to bend down and pick it up, so don't. You don't have to pick it up. There's bread lying on the floor, so let it lie on the floor. Big deal. You go in the street, you see a loaf of bread, so let it lie there. When it says in the Gemara, Ein ma'avirin, he translates the word ma'avirin, do not step on it. Do not actively disgrace food. But if the food by itself is just there, it's lying on the floor, you have no obligation whatsoever to pick it up. That's a chiddush. And just about every single one of the Rishonim disagrees with the Me'iri. They understand that it doesn't just mean don't step on it. It means you have an obligation to actually pick it up. Now, how do you dispose of bread? Today, Baruch Hashem, we live in a very affluent society where there's an enormous amount of waste. Go to a wedding, go to a Sheva Brach, go to anything, and they put out bulk halach in front of everyone. And people, they take a little tidimashu of the bread, a little bit. And the vast majority of the bread, where does it go? Goes into the garbage. So why isn't that? I mean, sometimes there's some soup kitchens, they give it away. Not really, depending, especially with Corona, they a lot of those soup kitchens, that those distributions of food, that was a very big tragedy that occurred because of Corona. There used to be a wedding every night, every second. There was a wedding, there was a bar mitzvah. And all of these halls, in Bar Park and Flatbush and Lakewood, they're all hooked up with a lot of these soup kitchen organizations where they take all the leftovers, in different degrees, various degrees of leftovers. And they you know, they really call it once over, they really, they mamash, they go through, they take away their food. When you take away, they take away your food after some people, they give them a food, they don't eat anything. They eat just a teeny bit. Sometimes it depends where there are people there in the kitchen that actually take from your plate, your leftovers, anything that they assess is good enough, because there are poor people that have no problem eating it. They have nothing else to eat. And one of the tragedies of Corona was all of this food doesn't exist anymore for many reasons. Number one, there are no weddings anymore, and there are no simchas. Number two is you can't allow this to happen because the food maybe was super sensitive to contamination. It may kill the person. So a lot of people now, a lot of the charity organizations don't have, this is not happening now. So the question is, what do you do with all the waste? It's a very big problem, because the theme of all these ideas is it's bizui oichlin. So the basic idea is it's like Seamus. It's basically when it comes to throwing out food, the rule of throwing out food is almost identical to the rule of throwing out photocopies or throwing out Seamus. Yeah, people have mikvahs. You have a shear and you give out photocopies. Today, everything is digital. You don't see so much people giving out photocopies anymore. Now everything has gone digital. Everything is electronic. It's on your phone. It's on this. It's on that. So today, but what it used to be back in the olden days, you had photocopies. So what do you do with the photocopies? You collect them and you put it in a plastic bag or in a paper bag, put it in a box, and you put it out with the recycling materials. And the rule is it has no kedusha because it was meant to be disposed. It was never given the full kedusha, and you're allowed to dispose it, provided you don't dispose it b'derech b'zoyon. Don't let it sit in front of your house together with all the other garbage. It should be separate.
Even if it has the same Yudkei Vovkei on there?
It's not a real Yudkei Vovkei. In order for Yudkei Vovkei to get kedusha, you have to write it with your bare hands. For a machine, put a Yudkei Vovkei, it's just blobs of ink. It's nothing. It has no kedusha, and you're allowed to wrap it up, you're allowed to throw it in the garbage, but it's a disgrace to see Yudkei Vovkei when you're walking down the street to see on the floor Yudkei Vovkei. As a disgrace. So it should be thrown in the garbage, the derech covered, even if it has Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Yud Kei Vav Kei has absolutely no kedusha. In order for something to get kedusha, a human being has to write it with his bare hands with kavana. I'm now writing Hashem's name. If you're writing a pasuk, even if Hashem's name does not appear, I wrote that pasuk. You write with your bare hands, Divrei Torah, I am writing a thought of Torah, and that has sanctity, and the paper and the ink has sanctity, and that has to be disposed of in the derech kavod, like real shamus, that you don't put out with the garbage, with the recycling materials, that you put in a separate place. But a photocopy with no human being has invested sanctity, it's nothing more than just ink on a piece of paper, which is meaningless, like the New York Times. It just so happens that the ink on this piece of paper happens to form the letters Yudkei Vavkei. Very nice. Good for you. So the New York Times, maybe by accident, sometimes they drop a some ink falls on the paper and also forms Yudkei Vavkei. It has no kedusha and it can be disposed of. But don't dispose of it. B'derech b'zayin. Don't go and go and throw it all the ways. Food is the same thing. Food. When it's disposed of, it should be disposed of b'derech kavod. Food is not garbage. When a person has, let's say, leftover bread, you have something which really is good food. And the reason why you're disposing of it is because it's just not practical. You're not going to eat this anymore. It's just not fresh enough. And Baruch Hashem, we live in a very affluent society. And if it's past the expiration date, you're not going to eat it, even though we all know there's nothing wrong with it. And there are millions of people that would be very happy to take it, but the situation is such where we're not in contact with them, and it's practical for us to give them a box of Cheerios. Comes Erev Pesach, and you have lying in your closet an old box of Cheerios. It's half full. So what are you gonna do with it? You're gonna sell it to the guy? Not really. You could if you want. But you're just not interested because anyway, it's been sitting in the closet for such a long time, but there's nothing wrong with it. You want to give it to an organization, the organizations will not take it. They only take closed boxes. They don't take a box of Cheerios that are half empty. They don't take it. You'll see they only want closed boxes. So what do you do with it? Just throw it in the garbage. Do you know that there are millions, billions of people that are starving to death in this world? They'd be very, very happy to take your box of Cheerios, your half empty box of Cheerios. So why don't you give it to them? Because I'm not in contact with them. I can't afford to go fly to Africa to give it to them. So what do you do with it? You throw it in the garbage. But when you throw it in the garbage, you have an obligation to throw it in the garbage, b'derech kavod, to wrap it up in such a way where it's not obvious when you walk on the street that there goes into the sanitation truck with all of the schmutz goes the box of Cheerios. It's a disgrace. Food is a blessing, and it's not, and the food demands a degree of sanctity. Okay, another quick thing. Now we talk about crumbs. Crumbs also are, the Chazal say that a person be very, very careful with crumbs. Don't let crumbs just fall on the floor. It's kosher la'anios. Crumbs lying around is an indication that you don't really appreciate your food. People don't let, you know, for some people, they have a lot of money. And for them, $1 or $2, loose change, it's crumbs. You know, you have in your pocket some quarters, some nickels. You don't see people taking their quarters and nickels, people who are very well-to-do, and Baruch Hashem, have plenty of money stashed away. You don't see them just taking their quarters and nickels and just throwing them on the street. You don't see that. You don't see people opening up their wallet. Oh, I got a couple of dollar bills. I have millions stashed away, so what's a couple of dollar bills? I'll use it as tissue paper. Okay, I'll use a dollar bill as tissue paper. You don't see people doing that. I need to write a telephone number. So all I have is a dollar bill. So I'll write down the telephone number on a dollar bill. You don't do that. Oh, but what's the dollar bill to you? You're a multimillionaire. It's a crumb. You don't do that. Food is the same thing. Food, a loaf of bread, it's $1 million. You have a crumb? No, so it's a quarter. You don't see millionaires taking quarters and throwing them in the garbage. And if a millionaire takes a quarter and throws it in the garbage, you know what happens? Very shortly thereafter, he's no longer a millionaire. Very shortly thereafter, the whole attitude of his money is his garbage, is nothing. He's on welfare. He's waiting by a soup kitchen. That's not the, so therefore, when a person eats, he should be very careful to show the value of food. The way you show your machshiv, the blessing of food, is by being very careful with the crumbs. Yeah. Don't be sloppy. Don't be sloppy. Don't let it just fall all over the place. Treat the crumbs like quarters and nickels, and treat the bread as if it was $1 million. Now, in that context, there's another interesting halacha, and that is when you bench. This is a very important halacha. When you bench, there is a obligation, a special duty, that on the table, when you bench, those crumbs should be there. When you finish eating, you throw the crumbs in the garbage. You dispose of them neatly. Neatly, you don't just sloppy. But when you bench, there should be at least either the crumbs or the leftovers or a box of matzo or bread. Person should never bench after the table is totally clean. That's incorrect. When a person recites Birchas Hamazon or Al HaMechil or Borei Nefashos, there should be some remainder, something, epis, something remaining from what he has consumed. Why? So that the cycle continues. When a person, Chazal say, Eina, the bracha has to live in a world of reality. When you make a bracha, you want the blessing to descend upon something tangible. And if you have on the table food, I don't know how this works. We don't know how all these mystical things work.
I just learned that, Medrash. And the explanation given is that you can't make a bracha on nothing. That bracha has to have a starting point, something with which to start. The example being Elisha, Hanavi, and the lady who had you have anything I can bless? And she said, I have a teeny bit of oil. And from there, he says, get as many kalim as you can, and the bracha, the oil multiplies, and she's...
Exactly.
So, but there had to be a starting point. That's the idea.
Exactly. So this is, when you bench, there should be either Borei Nefashos, Al HaMechiyah, there should be something on the table. And when there's something on the table, the blessing has a mokoim to be chal, to rest upon, and from there it will spread and bring you even more blessing. Okay, so that, okay, there's another quick, very, very bizarre thing you can find to be very, very funny, and that is, there's a halacha that you're not allowed to put food under your bed, especially bread. When you go to sleep, do not put food under your mattress. People stuff their mattresses with cash. Don't stuff your mattress with bread, because the bread then becomes contaminated due to you're sleeping. The ruach of tumah of sleep, this all mystical, affects the bread. What happens if you violate that law? You go to sleep, And under your bed, guess what's there? The chalas for tomorrow's Suda Shabbos. You took the chalas that you're gonna have for tomorrow's Suda Shabbos and you put them under your bed. Are you allowed tomorrow to eat those chalas at your Suda Shabbos if they were stored underneath your bread? You know, it's not so simple. Halacha l'maisa will make it, you can eat it. You can eat it, it's mutter. But not everyone who some hold of the degree of contamination that you have that is descended upon food that's underneath your bed, especially bread, is so potent, it would be in your best interest not to eat that bread.
Even if it's wrapped up? Even if it's wrapped?
Even if it's wrapped up. What do you do with it? Now, this really going to laugh. This is really very funny. It says here in the post, you know you do with it. Now, this only works if the bread is wrapped up. Let's say you have the chalas in the plastic bags. Okay, yeah, they're really, really good. You know, you're gonna laugh your head off. It says in the Paiskim you should put it in the mikvah. Now that's only if it's not gonna get ruined. if the plastic bag is airtight, okay, and the chlorine and all of the zeah of all the people who went into the mikvah, all of their bodily odors are not going to penetrate your bread, that would be a solution. Isn't that a little bizarre? It certainly is to me. And then it says there's something else. If you can't do that, which I wouldn't recommend, you should put it under the sink. Rinse it with water. Again, this only applies to food that's in a container or in a wrapper that you're able to do this. Obviously, most foods, if you put them under water, you're not going to be eating it anymore. But if the food is in a wrapper and it received its contamination when it was already contained in a vacuum-sealed wrapper, and you're able to put that whole vacuum-sealed wrapper underneath the sink and let water, it's like, you know what it's like? It's like Tisha Kabin. Mm-hmm. It's like the equivalent of Tisha Kabin. You have Tisha Chiddush, and a person can't go to mikvah for Tumas Keri or for Tumas Keri. So there's such a principle called Tisha Kabin. Someone should pour upon his head 9 measures of water. And that's almost equivalent to actually going to a mikveh. Now that's not going to work for a woman, a nida. Any person who needs to go to a mikveh, de'oraisa, has to go to a real mikveh. But when a man goes to mikveh, let's say for Tumas Keri, he doesn't necessarily need to go to a mikveh. There's another technique which is not as good, but it's better than nothing. Take a shower. You take a shower for 5 minutes, whatever it is, and the water pours over your head. The same way you have Tisha Kabin by a person, you have Tisha Kabin, or even less, when it comes to food. If food has been contaminated due to a ruach ra'ah, and what is the classic case of ruach ra'ah where food is stored underneath sleeping people, it can be purified by it being either being immersed in the mikvah or someone pouring water upon it, assuming that it's not going to damage the food if the food is wrapped up. How does that work? I have no idea, but that's what it says in the big books. Okay, everybody, have a wonderful day. And see you either tomorrow or later. Enjoy. It's a beautiful day today outside. Enjoy.
Rabbi Levine.
So in the end, does Bizer Ochlin apply to things besides bread or not?
Lechatchila, yes. Lechatchila, it does. B'di'eved, no. If lechatchila, you should be careful not to disgrace any bread, any food whatsoever. But after the fact, when you need to look for leniencies, there's much, much more ground to be lenient and not be concerned about bizu oichel if it's not actually bread, if it's candies, or it's pretzels, or it's meat, or fruit. The primary bizu oichel is only bread.
And it's only putting it directly in the garbage, meaning if you have like an old package, let's say, like snacks, you have an old packages, but you want to throw that out. Would that be bizar equivalent to throw that directly in the garbage when it's in its package?
If you have to throw out the food, you throw out the food. You just do your best to minimize the bizoyon that the food is going through. You just do your best to minimize the bezayin. That's a relative, all depends on what the situation is and what you can do.
And a lot of times on Shabbos, when you cut up the challah on like the tray, there's a lot of crumbs that result when you cut it up. So those crumbs, like at the end of you, when you clean up, those crumbs should also be collected and put carefully, wrap that up and put it in the garbage?
No, you don't have to wrap it up. You just put it in the garbage. Putting in the garbage is not a bazillion. No, you do
not.
It just
a lot of bad things in the garbage. A lot of dirty things. No.
You have to use your seichel. I don't know exactly. You have to use your seichel and minimize bazillion the best that you can. It's not considered a bazillion to collect the crumbs from the table and throw them in the garbage. It's not considered.
So it says kashal aniyus. The crumbs of the bread is kashal aniyus.
Let the crumbs on the floor, and you step on it, and you're sloppy. Kashal aniyus is where you have crumbs, and you let the crumbs scatter all over the place, and you're sloppy. When you eat,
How do the crumbs get to the floor? Because they're once on the table and they eventually get on the floor.
Well, there's a certain amount of crumbs which is inevitable will get on the floor, but there's a degree of slop. Everyone knows there are different levels. When a person is just very sloppy and dirty, that's not good. But when you're eating naturally and there are crumbs, there are certain things that are natural. That's perfectly fine. That's expected. When we talk about crumbs, it means you are you're being mafriz al amida. You are behaving in a way that is unacceptable by the average person. When the average person eats, he eats on a table, and the crumbs that he makes, they fall on his plate or right near where he's eating. Slav, when he eats, the whole room is filthy dirty. Okay, these are simple matters. These are, just use your
sense. I think it's normal when you cut the salwa, that crumbs result as you cut it.
Can I just get a word in here, Rabbi Levine?